This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Is DCR.
Mel, if Sam Darnold was in this draft class, where would he go?
At worst, the third pick overall.
I don't know how you could say that after watching him for the last 3 years.
Is none of what was bad about the Jets on Sam Darnold zero?
It's not all on the Jets organization either. The player has to be able to rise above some of the shortcomings of the team and the organization.
I think he has a chance, but I'm not going to say statements like he's going to be great.
He does not look like a confident quarterback.
No.
And I've been there in those situations. That just isn't all of a sudden you snap your fingers and that comes back.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. We start the show, and I want to go back here, and that is the local baseball. So 800-919-3776. Yankees, I still don't think we gave it enough airtime, by the way, Rick, that Chris actually used the phrase, it was touch and go with Gerrit Cole last night for a while.
Yeah, touch and go. Because, I mean, God forbid, in the top of the first inning, you have somebody on third base.
They got a guy in scoring position, and that was on the verge of completely falling apart. I think the Yankees considered cutting him at some point during that first. It was touch and go.
Why did we give this guy a 9-year deal?
Oh, my God. We're looking in year two, it's already touch and go. How can we go on? But he was otherworldly last night. He was sensational. But I don't know if you agree with me. The thing that rings true last night for me about the local baseball is, and I know it's two games in and you don't want to panic, but I think at least for me, I kind of have to. The Mets bullpen is really a major concern on multiple levels. Firstly, no lead is ever going to be safe. You'll never feel, you know what, I could shut this one off and find out how it plays out tomorrow because I feel good that they're going to win. That's firstly. And secondly, two games into the season and it feels like there's two, I mean, maybe Diaz as well, but as far as, like, you know, seventh, eighth inning guys, there's two guys that they trust. That's Castro and that's May, and they haven't been great. Well, Castro's been okay, but there's real concerns here if you can't go to somebody else last night.
Well, I think we said it before the season started, right? If there was going to be one thing that would trip this team up, like, your biggest concern would be the bullpen. And there were names out there that we thought the Mets should be interested in. And, I mean, Brad Hand was one of those guys. I mean, he wanted to close. They wouldn't commit to him being the closer, so he went off and signed with the Nationals, which sucks because he's in your same division. And then, I mean, Liam Hendricks was another name that we really liked.
There was a million guys. There was Melanson. There was, now I don't know Trevor Rosenthal's hurt, but there was Rosenthal. There was Alex Colome. There was a lot of relievers available this offseason.
Yeah, but again, we were told that the bullpen was solidified because they believe in Edwin Diaz. And then we went out and we signed, you know, Trevor May. And we bring in Aaron Loop.
You feel like that?
Not now. I mean, listen, it's only two games in. But the reality is, without Seth Lugo, the reason why you felt okay about the bullpen is because there's not one Mets fan that will call in and say they trust Jairus Familia, because that's not true. And I think we still have our concerns about Edwin Diaz. It was because you brought in Trevor May, who was one of your big offseason signings, and he was all pumped up to be a Met, and then you had the lefty in Loop. And both of those guys have not looked good. I mean, Loop looked brutal in his first appearance, and Trevor May's had back-to-back appearances where he hasn't looked great. Which, yeah, you're right. It's a reason for concern because, again, you can't afford to be in situations like this, especially when you're playing teams in your own division, to start blowing games. And you blew the first game with Jacob deGrom.
Terrible.
And now Stroman pitches great, so you got great starting pitching again, and it got dicey.
But
It got dicey.
You should not have a 6-1 lead in the seventh inning into the eighth inning and to have to think of, oh God, I'm a little anxious here. That should not happen. You should be able to find anybody in the pen and say, let's put you in and let's put this to bed. I mean, you're a really like a runaway from a laugher. 6-1 is a comfortable lead.
Yeah, but that was really my question last night watching the game, is why are you going back like with an afternoon game today and Peterson on the mound? And we saw how they handled Jacob deGrom. So you're most likely not going to get much length. So you're going to rely on your bullpen. Like, why are you going to Castro with a 6-1 lead?
I don't understand. For the life of me, I have no understanding of what they were doing. And I started the show earlier on, and even pre-show, I said Luis Rojas, and you said, well, there's other guys making decisions. Well, fine. Whoever's making the decisions, I question it. They don't have trust in anybody else? Nobody? I mean, Betances is just, he's a mop-up guy now at this point?
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, is, and again, Gary Cohen he brought it up, and he's really smart with these things and kind of points out the different things that he has a problem with. And as a fan, you're watching this thing, and you think the same exact thing he's thinking is, why, you know, why do we have Familia and Trevor May up? Like, what? And you're going to bring Trevor May back today after he threw 22 pitches in his first game, and now he'll be unavailable today. And Castro, again, you mentioned it. These are the two guys that you trust. So right. your two most trusted guys outside of your closer are unavailable today.
Wouldn't your thought process have been, all right, these are the two guys I trust. I have a 5-run lead. I have to figure out a way to get six outs, and I should be able to get six outs so that I can use them after Peterson pitches on Wednesday, because odds are he's not going to go that deep into the game. Wouldn't that be the thought process?
That would be the thought process. That would be my thought process, but maybe there was just a real sense of urgency in yesterday's game.
He had a 5-run lead in the eighth inning.
I understand that, but did you hear Luis Rojas after the game? This game ball is for the owner. I mean, this is maybe they put a ton of pressure on themselves to make sure that they won yesterday.
I get you're telling me you couldn't, like, Gesellman couldn't have gone out there and allowed two runs in the eighth inning? Like, real? I mean, I can't believe that there's such desperation out of the pen already.
Yeah, I was surprised. In all honesty, I was surprised. I didn't think that you needed to go to Castro in that spot. I didn't,
and he's been good.
Yeah, he's been good, but at a certain point, I mean, again, if you're not going to let your starting pitchers give you length, going from a 60-game season where, I mean, Stroman didn't even pitch last season, to all of a sudden now where you're trying to find, you know, people to pitch 162 games, like, you're going to put a lot of pressure on your bullpen.
A ton. And your bullpen's not good to begin with. And now you're going to tax them? God knows what's going to happen this season. Let's go to Spike. It says Jersey, but that's just not true anymore. Spike in Florida, good morning.
I like that better. Good morning, my friends. So I'm watching, you know, going from day one to day two with all the sports, and my best friend in the world is a diehard Mets fan and Knicks fan, okay? And he was devastated the day before with DeGrom. I mean, it's, you really feel for DeGrom. I know you guys are big Mets fans. That guy, 70 and 51, and probably has an ERA of 2-point-something. He'll probably wind up 85 and 72 at the end and go to the Hall of Fame. So watching the Mets yesterday, and he goes, he texts me, and then he calls me, and he goes, what's what they do with the bullpen? I'm waiting for Armando Benitez to come in here. It's just hard to imagine. I don't know who's calling me. You know, is it the manager? Is the GM texting him, or like the other guy did? They're so... What's kidding? It looks like the Mets are going to have to hit their way to get into the playoffs. It's just so sad to me. I thought Stroman pitched well.
He pitched
and
great.
When Syndergaard comes back.
Yeah, that was, Spike, I'm just agreeing with you. He pitched great in that game last night.
Yeah, he pitched very well. It's just, my friend said this, and I think after on Saturday show last year, I brought this up to you, Dave, and he said, absolutely not. Remember when Johnny Bench, I don't know if you guys were old enough, played, he went to third base. And my friend, he says, you know, why don't they put Alonso, work him out in the offseason at third? If he can make the throw, it's reflex plays. Well, listen, because you got to play the left-handed kid at first base. He's a slick first base, but I forget his name for a second.
Dom Smith. It's not going to happen, Spike. It sounds great. They need the DH. They're not going to take Alonso and put him at third. Alonso's not a great first baseman. Now you're going to put him at third base?
Well, he did take work. I mean, I told you that when it happened. I mean, he was taking work at third base, but no.
And I didn't like it when you said it.
No, I get it. But this is why, again, we were hoping that there'd be a DH in the National League. Because it would benefit the Mets. We wouldn't be having these conversations. Alonso would be a DH, occasionally play first base, and you'd have Dom Smith over at first, who's a better defender. Because it does. It takes away from your defense.
I get it. And it makes you lesser defensively. I mean, putting Dom Smith
Pete's
in left
fine.
Field is not ideal.
But Pete's been good over first. He's made a couple great plays over first.
Well, and that's fine. So if he's comfortable at first, and now you can't now put him at third. I mean, it's a completely different position. And it's a difficult position.
Yeah, and as far as being too lefty, I mean, that was something they were going to address anyway. They were trying to address. But, I mean, J.D. Davis ends up getting hurt. He gets hit with the pitch. So you bring in Guillorme.
I guess it was no fracture, by the way, which is good.
Yeah, the X-rays were negative, but I don't think the offense is going to be the issue with this team.
No, I mean, Lindor hasn't even started hitting. Offensively, they'll be fine.
McNeil hasn't hit yet either.
No, he's hit the ball hard, just hasn't gotten hits. But no, the offense will be fine. The two things that concern me, and listen, let's be fair. In two games, you've already seen it, and you mentioned this. Things happen that you know are issues with the team. Defensively, there's major question marks, and the bullpen, there's major question marks.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, the defense has been all right. It's been pretty good.
Well, the Guillorme played the other night. Yeah, McNeil made an error last night. There's been some, I mean, it's only two games in.
Yeah, but you've seen what I'm saying is you've seen some really good, and then you've had the couple plays that were bad. A couple bad plays. But, I mean, If you're going to start power ranking biggest concerns, right now you can't put defense over the bullpen.
No, the bullpen's the number one, followed by defense, and I don't even think offense is a worry. If offense is an issue, this is just going to be a bad baseball team.
I don't think is going to happen.
Good.
And the fact that Stroman stepped up the way that he did.
He was great.
It's huge, especially because, again, you don't have no Carrasco. You're going to wait for him to get healthy.
But the thing is, there's reinforcements down the road, which makes it even more enticing.
Exactly right. Because, again, once you got past, I mean, once you lost Carrasco and Stroman didn't pitch last season, I mean, once you get past the Grom, it's like, okay, now we just got to kind of hope that, you know, Stroman turns back into, because he wasn't great when they traded for him.
No. Down the stretch 2 years
initially,
ago,
he wasn't great.
Nope, he was not. But now it should be better. And you're going to get Carrasco back, and it sounds like he's getting closer, and Syndergaard is not going to be forever. So these two guys are going to get back into the rotation, which I guess in theory, Rick, makes your bullpen better too, right? If Peterson and or Lucchese wind up in the pen?
Yeah, but again, what scares you is you already didn't love the bullpen. And then the only reason you're like, okay, maybe I can start to trust the bullpen was because you brought in Trevor May. And you brought in Aaron Loop. And those guys already, you know, two games in,
yeah.
You're like, oh.
Already. Yep.
Maybe this isn't great.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if he's done it yet. Probably not. But he's going to be involved with the Peloton at some point today. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's been a little early for that. We'll probably wait till the afternoon today.
But you're going to get that done today, right?
Do it before dinner and then eat a big, you know, eat like crazy. I only do it so I can eat. That's the big secret, right? Like, I mean, I can't stop eating. So if I don't exercise, I get fat. So I'm playing for a tie, basically.
I like it. It's very well conceived. Some people on the show don't plan things so beautifully, and we got into that earlier. But I want to get into this with you here on 98.7 ESPN. Why is there this, and I know you speak to you know, front office people and scouts around the league. It feels like there's this love affair with Sam Darnold. Like he's been so mismanaged by the Jets, and he's going to go to Carolina. He's going to turn into this star player. And, you know, Mel Kiper has this, you know, this whole soundbite of, you know, A+ for the Panthers and what a star he's going to be. And I guess my question is that the way the front office people around the league feel, that this guy's going to turn himself into a star down in Carolina?
So the key thing to understand about quarterback is that it's very, very subjective, right? Like there might be a front office that looks and goes, ugh, forget it. And then there's another front office or coaching staff that looks at the potential at the age and says, yeah, look, we loved this guy 3 years ago. Would have loved to get our hands on him, but we couldn't get high enough up in the draft. We've seen guys move on from Adam Gase and be excellent. This guy still has potential. He still has all that talent that we know he had 3 years ago. He's been hurt, et cetera, et cetera. We can make something out of this. So I think that's where there's definitely always going to be a team or two out there that feels that way, especially about a player this young and who's demonstrated a high, he hasn't performed at a high level in the league, but he has a high level of ability. So a quarterback coach, an offensive coordinator looks and goes, oh, I can make something out of that. I can do better than his last coaching staff did with him. And very often they're wrong, but certainly we're in a zone right now where there are enough people that feel that way about Sam Darnold that, there are some high hopes for what he can accomplish down there. If he can put the injuries behind him, if he clicks with Joe Brady, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I think people look at the potential and still see it in him.
Yeah, but Dan, how much of this is to do with the fact that Ryan Tannehill, when he left a similar situation with Adam Gase, all of a sudden is now having the success he's having in Tennessee? Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill, Devontae Parker, Kenyon Drake. I mean, there are a lot of players that have left that system and gone on to Robbie Anderson had a good year for Carolina last year. So there are, and look, I mean, we don't have to bash the guy, he got fired, but I mean, the fact of the matter is there have been some offensive players that have moved on to bigger and better things. And that is part of the calculus when a team looks and says, yeah, this guy, he doesn't look real good the last couple of years, but maybe the circumstances were a bigger reason for that than his own ability.
This was the right move, though, right? Like, you heard a lot of people say, well, the Jets should have hung on to him and had Wilson and Darnold and let Darnold, you know, be the quarterback and then hand it over to Wilson at some point. I think that's preposterous. I think this was the right move. Do you concur with that you had to move on from him if you're going to draft a new quarterback?
Yes. The dirty little secret of draft season is that no one can predict the future, right? This is all about predicting the future. Everything we're doing this whole month, And yet everyone stinks at it. The numbers show it clearly. Less than 50% of first-round picks make it to a second contract with their team. No one knows how to do this, right? No one knows how to predict how these guys are going to play. So all you can do is set yourself up for the best possible position to succeed. And if you keep Darnold and you're the Jets, he is going to cost you almost $19 million next year, and you don't know what you have. Zach Wilson, you don't know what you have. You think you do. You know what he looks like. You know what you're hoping for. But you have 5 years to figure it out at relatively low cost when you think about quarterbacks. So just from a dollars and cents standpoint, it made sense for them to do this, given where they're picking, given what the apparent strength of this year's quarterback class. It's the right percentage play, if nothing else.
So, Dan, let me ask you a question, and I'm not sure you can answer it or not, but I want to ask you because if anyone would know, it's you. The sense of urgency from Carolina to go from, initially I heard it was a fourth-round pick, to now all of a sudden include the second-round pick and then the sixth-round pick this year.
Yeah.
How much of that has to do with what's going on with Deshaun Watson? Because they seem like the team that was most interested in trying to trade for Deshaun Watson.
Yes, a lot. It has a lot to do with that because they have been very interested in Deshaun Watson, and they've made that clear, and they've been aggressive in trying to construct packages that it would take to get him. And I don't think, given what the Watson trade would be, I don't think that the Darnold trade eliminates Carolina from it if and when he becomes available. But the problem is there's so much uncertainty around that situation right now in terms of how it's going to play out on the legal end, what the league will do in terms of potential discipline / suspension. If you're Carolina, you can't wait around because you don't know how long you're going to have to wait. And you also don't know if in the end, after that wait, you're even going to be able to get him. So, yes, they had to do something in the meantime. And maybe down the road, whether it's months from now, a year from now, whatever, they revisit. But in the meantime, they had to do something. They clearly were not happy with Teddy Bridgewater and needed to find something that they believed was an upgrade. And in Sam Darnold, at the price that they paid, they believe they did.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we mentioned Deshaun Watson. We talked about earlier, it sounds like, I guess there's 23 women now, and one of them spoke out yesterday, and Watson's attorney came out and refuted all of this. What is the latest, as far as you know, with the NFL, their investigation, the police, their investigation, and everything going on with Deshaun Watson right now?
I can't speak to the police end of it. I think that I'm just not close enough to the story on that side. I know Sarah Barshef, who covers the Texans for us, has been doing a lot of really good reporting on that, and that's all at ESPN.com for anybody who wants to see it. In terms of the league, and the league is in this position now in its investigation where it's trying to talk to the people involved, the witnesses, the alleged victims. And this is where the league gets to in these investigations. It's a difficult situation for them because they don't have subpoena power. They can't compel any of these people to talk to them. So they have to hope that someone will. And if that's the case, if they get multiple of the accusers to talk to them, then that helps their investigation and ultimately their conclusion. But if they're in an early stage in the investigation, they tend to defer to the legal process in these situations anyway. The season is not for, what, five more months? So they have time to figure it out before they have to decide whether to take him off the field. But right now they're in that position of trying to reach out through the attorney to see which of the accusers is willing to talk to them. And more often than not, the league kind of gets told, no thanks, and that they're left to trying to dig through whatever information they can find before reaching a conclusion, which is why the league really shouldn't be in the business of investigating these things anyway, but that's a separate issue.
So, Dan, in your opinion, any chance at all he gets dealt before the draft, or is that ship sailed?
I think it's very unlikely at this point, Rick. I think we're talking about 3 weeks from tomorrow, for the first round. I can't see how this situation clears up sufficiently for a team to feel good about acquiring him, especially at the price. Now, if Houston decides they just want to be rid of him and you're going to get him at a bargain, then maybe it's worth it. But I'd be surprised by that, too. I think this drags on a while.
So Trevor Lawrence, I guess, is going to go one. Zach Wilson goes two. Is Mac Jones, is that definitely three in your mind, or is that still up for debate?
My understanding, I checked in on this a couple places yesterday, people close to the situation. My understanding was that it's not decided, that it still could be any of those other three guys, that Trey Lance and Justin Fields are planning to have additional workouts that the 49ers will be paying attention to, and that there's still some discussion in the 49ers building about, you know, who they're going to take. Now, you know, Mac Jones is certainly a fact. I mean, he's certainly a consideration. He's one of the guys under consideration. And there are people in that building that feel strongly that it should be him. So, you know, 3 weeks to go, we'll see how it shakes out. But no, I think there's still a possibility it could be one of the other two guys.
Dan Graziano joins us here in the show. Dan, I was reading the other day, it sounds like Atlanta's going to be open for business at 4 if they get the right deal.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like of the teams that need a quarterback, it seems like Denver would be maybe the team most willing to try to move up to 4. I mean, is that the team you would look at that could make that move?
It's also the shortest drop for Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're Atlanta, first of all, if you're Atlanta, you got to decide whether you want to take a quarterback. You know, Matt Ryan's 36 years old. If you decide you want to take a quarterback, you're not moving because you're going to sit there and take the one you like out of the remaining two. But if you decide you're not taking a quarterback, then it certainly behooves you to find out what that pick is worth, considering the pick right in front of you just went for 3 first-rounders and a third. So you're silly not to find out what you can get for it. And, yeah, if you're talking to the Chicago Bears, you're talking about dropping down to pick 20. Now, does that take you out of the mix for the kind of player you really want to get in the first round? And if that's the case, are you getting enough in return to make it worth it? Whereas if you're talking to Denver, it's a much shorter drop. And maybe you look and say, well, I got a list of 4 or 5 guys I really love. I'm definitely going to get one of them. Plus, I've just picked up an extra first-round pick next year. So, yeah, and now New England sitting there at 15, again, a little bit more of a drop there. So what you have to get what you think makes it worth it for you to move back that far, or could you pull a Dolphins and move back up a couple spots? So that's what they're dealing with in Atlanta right there is what's this pick worth? What could we get if we stay put? And what could we get if we drop back to this spot, that spot, this spot? You know, and that's what they're figuring out. Again, they got 3 weeks.
DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on DCRP are via the Goodyear Hotline. And Dan Graziano is with us here on 98.7. So, I mean, you used to cover the Giants, and they seem to be the mm-hmm. one team in this draft. I mean, I guess there's a bunch, but the Giants are 11, so it is somewhat early. That, I mean, I've heard so many different guys go, you know, Rashawn Slater, and if Sewell is there, and they would snap up Pitts if he's there at 11, and, you know, the kid from Georgia, Ojulari, I've heard, and the offensive line from USC, and Sertan. I mean, so many different guys. What is your, and I know it's just a guess at this point, what is your best guess with what the Giants would do?
Yeah, I mean, if Pitts were there, they would do it, but they absolutely do not think he will be. I think when, you know, going into free agency, my understanding from the Giants' end was that they were really digging in, especially on receivers and pass rushers in the draft. So having spent big on the receiver, it leads you to the conclusion that maybe they're thinking about defense and maybe seeing if there's a pass rusher there that's worth taking. So again, that's going back a few weeks. I'm supposed to check in again on them later this, you know, I don't know exactly where their mind is on that, but could it be offensive line again? Could it be a pass rusher? They certainly need some help in that edge rush. Now, I know there's some question about whether there's a guy worth taking at 11 this year, but that's eye of the beholder as well. You know, Dave Gettleman in the first round likes to take great big guys or running backs. I don't think he's going to do that this year.
Yes. That's not funny, but, Dan. Yeah, it's not Dan. Funny.
Well, no, he's McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley in back-to-back years. He likes the running back up there, but he has the guy. He doesn't need to take. So Hog Molly, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to figure out how to upgrade that pass rush with their first round pick.
All right, Dan, last one for me. You had mentioned New England. Do you think Belichick doesn't like to take quarterbacks. I mean, a quarterback in the first round, period.
No.
But, I mean, there's been a lot of talk. Is there a chance at all, you think, that he moves up to try to get a quarterback or no?
I think there's a chance. It would be uncharacteristic, but it's uncharacteristic for them to be picking as high as they are anyway. And the fact of the matter is they haven't needed a quarterback in 20 years. So, yeah, I don't think you can necessarily look at the history and say, oh, he doesn't like to take first round quarterbacks. You know, his ideal situation is to wait till the sixth round and draft the greatest quarterback of all time. But it's unlikely that he'll do that again. because that's rare. So I think, yeah, if there's a guy that they're in love with, if it's Justin Fields and he's still sitting there at 5, 6, 7, yeah, that becomes really interesting, and maybe you do talk about a trade up. I think he'll be nimble and able to move around as need be.
Dan, can I ask you a question?
Sure, that's why I'm here.
So, but it's not an NFL question. It kind of is. So yesterday we had Schefter on.
And
I pushed this, and this got done. And Schefter and Rick live near each other. And Schefter sent Rick his information via DM, his phone number, and Rick now has access to Schefter, and he can answer questions whenever it need be. Would you like to be that guy for me? Like, would you like to send me your DM or give RJ your information that you said you're talking to the Giants later this week? Maybe I can shoot you a text and reach out, and we can start that relationship for ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, do you not have my phone number? It's not hard to get. I mean, I would never want to
just start using it without your blessing either.
No, absolutely. Yeah, let's make that happen there, Dave, and then we'll see. It sounds like Rick's going to be set up better than you in this scenario, but you never know. Every now and then, you know, I may pop one. So, yeah, I think we'll do that.
I like that.
Goes.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate that. I offer you the best of luck on the Peloton today after that lovely response. We will talk to you next week. I might talk to you later today. I don't really know. I don't really know, to be honest.
Don't do it, Dan.
Yeah,
don't do it.
Give you the number.
All right, we're going to put you on hold. RJ's going to get the number, and we move forward.
It's a big
Terrific.
Mistake.
My number.
This is a
Thanks.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Huge
it's not a
mistake.
Big mistake. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
This
See
is
guys.
A huge mistake.
Bye. How do you see, how do, I don't know. You're a terrible human being.
Well, no, listen how... Okay, completely different situations. The reason why you told Shefty that I need his number was because I want to take Shefty out for dinner.
I'll take Dan out for dinner.
Well, no. Okay, you asked Dan for his number so you can text him about what he's heard from the Giants.
He said he's going to talk to the Giants in a couple days.
Yeah, but I'm not going to use Shefty's number to text him questions about football.
Well, whose mistake is that?
And you've
completely
turned off.
If you're getting inside information from Schefter, isn't that good for the show?
Yeah, and you've completely turned off Jordan Renan now. You're probably dead to Jordan Renan.
How so?
You just cheated on him right in front of his face.
I didn't cheat on anybody. I like Dan. And if there's insight to get around the NFL, I want it. Does that make me a bad human being? I think not.
I hope he gives you a fake number. I hope so bad he gives you a fake
RJ's
number.
RJ's going to give me the number.
I hope it's a fake number.
It was not a fake number. It won't be a fake number. Why would he do that?
Well, because now all of a sudden you're going to be lighting him up with Giants questions.
No, I'm not. I'm going to text him after the show. Say, hey, just so you have it, this is my number if you need anything from me.
Have you talked to the Giants yet? Have you talked to the Giants yet?
I talked to the Giants yet. Dave, it's 2:45 in the morning. Yeah, so people are awake. I don't think that was weird at all. I think that was well done, well played. How come I do it for you and it's like, oh, well, what a job by Rothenberg. I do it for me and all of a sudden I'm a pariah.
Well, no, because you did it for me, which I appreciate. I would have done it for you if I had known.
No, you wouldn't. You
but
didn't.
I don't think Dan, all I'm saying is I don't think Dan knows what he's signing up for.
You didn't do it for me. You could have. You had the opportunity. You didn't. It's the second time you've passed on something beautiful.
Well, we clearly have a communication issue with this show. Because not one time did you ever say to me off the air, hey, can you do me a favor and get Graziano's number for me?
You didn't say to me, hey, do me a favor and get me Schefter's information. I just did it because I know you. I know you and I get you.
You were trying to make me uncomfortable. I thought you could make me ask Chef D about his boxer shorts.
No, I was not. I wouldn't do that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
RJ and Raymond are fighting about the 3 stars already.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow, this is early for them. They're usually going after you because you throw both of them under the bus consistently.
No, I love those guys. They're like family.
I mean, you have an interesting way of showing how much you love them.
Well, how do you show your love for me?
That's a good point. You make an excellent point.
That's a brilliant point. By the way, I still haven't gotten Dan Graziano's number. I'm waiting on that.
I've already beaten that. I mean, Shefty was immediate.
Well,
slid right to the
but defense. I don't really think it's Dan's issue. I think RJ has the number, and RJ's supposed to pass it along to me.
Yeah, see, if I'm RJ, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
I find it very hard to believe you don't have his number already.
I I don't understand why you would think that I have his. I don't have his number. Why would I lie about this?
You like to play things up for sympathy.
Oh my!
He's got the address. You got to. This is what Dave does. This is creepy Dave when he's lurking. He's got the address. Doesn't really have the phone number yet.
Diana, I have been lurking. Just walk. Hey Dan, RJ gave me all your information.
This is probably why you weren't too bothered by Rick Pitino. You have experience in this sort of thing, just popping up.
I was in the neighborhood. Thought I'd just swing by.
That's right. But you don't live here. Yeah, but. I like it here, and I figured I would – great gas prices. I'd come check it out. 800-919-3776. Kind of open form as far as the calls go for the rest of the show. This is an interesting little survey on ESPN.com. Have you looked at what RJ sent us yet for the all the questions around Major League Baseball?
No.
Good. Have you honestly not?
I briefly
Oh, look at what has happened. I don't want it to turn into that. All right, so let's have a little bit of fun here. Which team will be the biggest surprise, good, bad, in this league year? There's a number of questions. Seriously, don't look at it. Let's have a little fun. Which team, biggest surprise? First, let's go. Survey says good. Survey says good. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams that got votes for the good team, the surprise team.
I'll stick with our own division. I mean, with how their starting pitching's looked, I'll say the Phillies.
Yep, Phillies are right there. Phillies second most votes, tied with a couple other teams with 3. One team stands far and away as the number one team, expected to be a good surprise this season. But yep, Phillies are right there. They get 3 votes.
So the team you're looking for, is it American League or National League?
It's American League.
Not supposed
they
to be
have
very good.
A great underrated infielder. Terrific.
Infielder, what position? Give me the position, I'll get it.
I believe he plays second base. He has a name that's not all that common. You might think he's a member of a bougie country club with this name.
Oh, Whit Merrifield.
Yeah,
Royals.
Whit Merrifield.
Royals.
Yep. Well, yes. Well done.
You Royals want the year? Would you like the year?
Yeah, I'd like the year. Can you tell me the year? Royals got 7 votes. Indians, 3. Red Sox, 3. Phillies, 3. Giants, 3. D-backs, Tigers, and Cubs all received 1. To the bad, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to the bad as far as voting is concerned. Want to take a crack at this one?
So could be good, but people think you'll be surprised that they're going to be bad.
Well, I guess the expectation is that this team is going to be pretty good, but the experts on this panel think that these teams will, in fact, underachieve.
Tell me please tell me no one picked the Mets.
There is a vote for your fancy New York Mets, yes. They're the only team on the list that received only 1 vote, though.
Whoever voted, that's just the bad person, whoever did that. No, I mean, I guess another team that has real high expectations. White Sox?
White Sox did receive 2 votes, yes. As did the Phillies. So the Phillies got 3 that they're going to surprise in the good and 2 that they're going to surprise in the bad. Your leader for the bad votes, National League Central.
National League Central.
Yep.
I don't believe it's not going to be one of the. It's not going to be one of the top teams.
All right. Well, it's not going to be the Pirates either.
The Reds.
There you go. 5 votes for your Cincinnati Reds. All right. Moving on to the second question. You like this, don't you? You love.
I do like these games. I do like these games.
Which star player who struggled in 2020, which was a Fugazi season in many ways anyway, is most likely to return to form? I'll repeat it again. Which star player who struggled in 2020 is most likely to return to form? Up on the board, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different players. The last 2 only received singular votes, 1 vote each.
I think Yelich has to be on that list.
Ah, beautifully done. Christian Yelich, the runaway winner here, receiving 12 first place votes. Very well done.
This guy's actually having a really good start to his season, and he wasn't very good last season. JD Martinez?
Yep, you're great. You really are. Very well done. No wonder you turned down Cass. You needed your brain to be very well focused, and it is. Yelich gets 12, JD Martinez 5, Anthony Rizzo 3, Carlos Correa 3, Javi Baez 1, and Justin Upton also 1. All right, let's move to the MVPs of each league. Who will win the AL and NL MVP? Let's start with the American League. Who will win the American League MVP?
You have to go. I mean, I think we all went with it. You got to go with Trout, right?
Yeah, that's the clear surefire number one. He receives 11 votes. By the way, on the board, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 separate individuals. Trout gets 11 votes, almost doubling number two here.
Let's see, because I have this team. Actually, I picked this team to win their division. You picked the A's for
some
reason.
Which looks good.
Which looks really good. Yeah. You got to imagine Correa is going to have a big year. How about Bregman? Is Bregman on the list?
Oh, yes. Alex Bregman is third on the list. He gets two votes.
And again, because his team doesn't make the playoffs and because he plays in the same team as one Mike Trout. And this guy, I don't think he gets enough credit for how good he is. I'm going to go with one Anthony Rendon.
That does receive a vote. Yes, well played. The new acquisition for the Angels. One vote. Ohtani also received one. You know what? I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to tell you this. Heavy Yankees flavor on this list. Heavy Yankees flavor.
Well, when you say Yankees, the name that you should, I mean, the name that would make the most sense from what we've seen over the last couple of years would be DJ LeMahieu.
DJ LeMahieu gets only one vote.
No.
Only one vote.
They went with Judge then?
Judge, which seems ridiculous to me because I just can't believe he's going to be healthy. He's the second most voted on Yankee or player in the American League at all. He receives six votes. Wow. DJ LeMahieu, like I mentioned, one. And Gleyber Torres receives two.
Gleyber Torres, speaking of Gleyber Torres, though, Dave, yeah. I mean, he better watch himself a little bit. Like, he's going to start turning off Yankees fans, I'm telling you.
Well, how so?
Like that play last night, the nonchalant play at short.
Yeah.
The guy hits a two-run home run. Like, that stuff, Yankees fans, drives them crazy.
When you're winning the game 7-0, it's not going to bother anybody.
I understand, but I'm just saying, like the Robinson Cano thing.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't look like he's always trying
people
hard.
People don't like it, especially here, if it looks like you're not giving maximum effort. I agree. All right. National League, who's going to win this thing? I'm looking at a board of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Although one of them you have to take with a grain of salt at this moment right now.
I would go... Soto's going to be up there. Acuna's going to be up there.
One with seven votes, yes.
I think Mookie Betts, Acuna.
Yep, you got two and three. Acuna, five votes. Mookie Betts, three. Harper, two. Bellinger, two. Tatis, two. That's the dicey one now. And Corey Seager, also two. All right. The one player you'd sit down in front of a television to watch right now.
Jacob deGrom.
He's second with three votes. But first is more than three times as many as the great Jacob deGrom. Although on this list it does say Jason deGrom, but I think they meant Jacob.
Ah, Jason deGrom.
His twin brother.
Tatis would be on the top of my list.
He ties Jason deGrom with three.
You know who I actually like really like watching play? Is Javi Baez. I love watching that guy play.
Javi Baez is not on the list. I'm surprised the guy that only gets one vote is only gets one vote. And that's Shohei Ohtani. I mean, the other night against the White Sox when he's pitching and hitting and batting second, that to me is riveting baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you saw something the other night you hadn't seen since 1903. Since 1903, you haven't seen that.
Oh, only gets one vote. But the big one you're going to have to deal with probably for the next, like, 18 years.
I got two of them in my own division. Are we talking about the Atlanta one or the Washington one?
The Washington one.
Soto.
Yeah, Juan Soto gets 10 votes. Jason DeGrom, 3. Tatis, 3. Kyle Hendricks, 2. Strasburg, 1. Kershaw, 1. Bieber, 1. Anderson, 1. And Ohtani, 1. How about the fact that Gerrit Cole doesn't get a vote here, huh?
Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird. Nastiest stuff in all of baseball right now.
It's got to be DeGrom.
Jason DeGrom with 6. And Gerrit Cole also with 6. Yu Darvish, 5. Devin Williams was great with the Brewers, 5. Bieber, 3. Strasburg, 1. The one player most likely, we're almost done here. We'll get to the Jets and Giants in a moment. One player most likely to be traded by the deadline. And the Mets were certainly in the conversation for this guy.
Well, you have to look at free agents, right? The Mets were interested in this player.
Yep.
Chris Bryant.
That's right. Chris Bryant, 9. Trevor Story, 8. Zach Greinke, 4. Carlos Correa, 3.
By the way, how is it, Trevor Bauer's not on the list of nastiest stuff?
Nope. Wow. I get, and this is the last one we'll do. I guess the Dodgers are such prohibitive favorites in everyone's mind that they had to ask the question like this. Who is your World Series winner if you're not allowed to pick the Dodgers?
That's got to be the Yankees.
Yep. Yankees are 1 with 12. Braves, 5. Padres, 4. White Sox, 3. Mets also, 3. And the Blue Jays, 1. But how about that? That the question has to be thrown out there. If you don't include the Dodgers, who would you take for the World Series?
Yeah, but I mean, is that unfounded?
No, but look, it just shows how heavily favored. Yeah, I know their pitching staff is. I mean, Gonsolin, they have so many. I mean, Dustin May, they have so many guys on that team. All right, I've had enough of the music. Can you kill the music? Thank you. Michael K. Show, celebrating a new 2 o'clock start time, but giving away $10,000 in the month of April every weekday in the 2 o'clock hour. Be listening for the K-Cash sounder and be ready to call to claim $500 in cash, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. So here's what I thought would be interesting to get into. We know now what the Jets are going to do. It's done. It's defined. Who would you rather have, the Jets quarterback situation or the Giants quarterback situation moving forward?
Ooh. I mean, that's a tough question.
That's a beautiful question.
It is a pretty good question. I guess I would have to say, you're still trying to figure out if Daniel Jones can play or not.
That's right.
And he's going into year 3.
That's right. You can say it. I think
both are an unknown. I like what I've seen from Daniel Jones. I think personality-wise, he's a perfect fit, which I think is a big deal. I don't think people give that enough thought. Like the personality of the player that's going into a situation like that, and Daniel Jones has a great personality for that. But I guess I would have to say the Jets, just because you're starting fresh. It's year one of a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, see, I think I'd agree with you. And I've had 2 full years of Jones, and I think there's a million questions. Now, there's going to be a lot of questions with the Jets quarterback, but at least it's a clean slate. And we can get into this a lot more tomorrow, but I think I would take what the Jets have. Now, the Jets can have anybody, and I don't even know who it's going to be. We think Wilson, but we don't know 100%. But I think I would take Zach Wilson and the unknown and new to the league. And, I mean, Daniel Jones has legitimate fumbling issues and legitimate turnover issues. And let's be fair. And maybe it's the surroundings around him, but he has not been great in 2 years. He's not.
Well, he regressed. And I don't know how much of that has to do with the fact that, you know, with the pandemic and everything else, new coaching staff, no offseason, no preseason games, new reworked offensive line that wasn't good at all to start the season, no Saquon Barkley. I mean, there are a list of reasons why Daniel Jones regressed last season. But
you know what? There's a laundry list of reasons that Sam Darnold wasn't good, and he's no longer with the Jets now.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, the reality of Sam's situation was they were so bad that all of a sudden now they had the second overall pick where they could make the decision to draft the quarterback. Like, that's part of the reason. I mean, that is the reason why it happened. Like, the Jets weren't going to actively start. I don't think the Jets would have actively tried to start trading multiple first-round picks to get up in this year's draft to get a quarterback.
Probably not. They probably would have stuck with Sam Darnold. And they made that perfectly clear when Joe Douglas addressed the media yesterday. He said the reason that we're going to take a quarterback is because we can take any quarterback that we want outside of Trevor Lawrence.
But you know what's amazing to me? It just, listening to Dan talk when you asked him the question about the Giants, is like each draft, it feels like, has a position or positions that are really, really good, or it's really deep in. Like last year the wide receiver position was as deep as we've seen, right? This year, we have a great quarterback draft.
Right.
Like, so in the quarterback draft, when you told yourself that you did need a quarterback, you decided to take a running back. The next draft, when you could have got the edge pass rusher that you're looking for, when Josh Allen was just staring you right in the face, now you decided to take the quarterback. And now we're in a year where it's flush with wide receivers and it's flush with, you know, all these different positions, and the one piece you're looking for, we need some pressure off the end. Well, it just so happens that this isn't really the draft for that.
I know. Well, you know what? If they're going to do that, you'd almost think you want to trade back, right? And maybe there's a quarterback at 11, and New England really wants it. New England wants to move up to 15, and you trade back, you get a little bit more, and you you get the edge rusher that you
How
want.
About this one, though? So I was watching KJZ during the break, and your boy Matt Miller was on.
Oh, he's good.
He said there's a chance that maybe you could see someone like Penei Sewell dropping out of the top 10.
Oh, my God. If Sewell, see, here's what would happen. I'm telling you this right now. RJ, cut this audio and bring it back on April 30th. Sewell will be there at 11. I'll be so excited, and the Giants will take some guy you've almost never heard of in your life. That I'm telling you, that is exactly what will happen. There was Arantes de Nascimento.
That's right.
They'll take Pele at 11 overall. All right, let's go. There was debates about it between Santiago and Santillo. Let's find out the three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Going to take it back to the start of the show or even the pre-show meetings, and that is the tweeting, twittering, whatever you want to call it, fool that is Steve Cohen. I hope he tweets after every single Mets game, win or lose. I want Dave to get as irritated as possible at this.
It will happen.
And I want your reaction, I want your visceral reaction to him on the Twitter, just to see where it goes. I'm rooting for this.
Okay,
I'm big on this.
Number two.
Rick mentioned earlier, Don LaGreca, the rants are just getting stronger and stronger.
Jam it up!
can't play the whole thing for a bunch of reasons, but it was a great rant yesterday, and as Rick says, Don's energy just keeps rising and rising.
Number one.
Somebody whose energy is not rising and rising, that is our own Rick DiPietro. So, Rick, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, when we sign off from the show here, go take care of business, go make Cassie happy. You know, her energy's rising. Yours is kind of going the other way. This is part of aging. We deal with it, but it's all going to be okay. Go make us proud, okay?
There you go. One night. One night, I tap out, and now it's going to be
Doesn't
for the rest,
matter.
For the
you
rest
know
of
what?
The show.
You have set a standard.
You've disappointed everyone on the show. Well done, Santiago. Well done. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, Plague of Champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and
everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.